The first time I saw you, Khaled, it was a disaster in the country. There is no internet connection. And the situation is extremely, extremely ugly as it seems. And I've seen you very calm, navigating the storm, and even asking the team to deliver more numbers. In a very calm tone, if I may say. I think we got our resilience in that moment from you, the minute we saw you in that discussion. That was exactly February 2011, in Egypt, in Alexandria. So I think, given the current context of what's going on in the region, from an economic, political, social activity, as you can see, we have the perfect guest to speak about sailing the storm. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you. First of all, thank you so much for inviting me for the episode, and I do hope that this episode, will be interesting for your audience, and they're going to learn something out of it. So thank you so much for having me here today.
So we usually introduce the guests through the purpose, which is much more deeper. So let me ask you the first question. What is your purpose in life?
I think it's going to be impact. I mean, I did not hesitate a second just to tell you it's impact. It's by the influence or the impact I'm going to leave in my life, what I will be remembered. When I'm long gone, I remember the book by Michael Hart, which is the greatest, which listed the top 100 greatest person that ever lived on Earth. And actually, he mentioned three things. It's about the number of people this person impacted. So it's the number of people you impacted. That's the first thing. Second thing is about how positive that impact is, and whether you did it by yourself or with the help of others. And the third point is whether that impact was everlasting or not. So that's the definition which actually led Michael Hart to put Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, on top of the list of the greatest 100 that ever lived in Egypt, on Earth. Yeah.
So if we speak about impact, I'm sure in your life you've been trying to fulfill your purpose through leaving long-lasting positive impact, if I may statement like this. And then impact requires people to be impacted. People on other side, but people play a big role in leaving the impact. Using your example, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, you see his friends and how the people carried forward the long-lasting impact. And people, not always they are promising. There is a disappointment as well when it comes to the people. So you do the effort to get your purpose fulfilled and you don't see the result. How do you keep your purpose alive?
First of all, you need to be authentic about it. You're not just doing this for the sake of doing this, or because it's known that if you are a leader, a CEO, a managing director, you need to stand up and share vision, mission, values, principles, etc. You need to actually feel it from the heart. So you need to be authentic about the impact you want to leave behind you. So that's one thing. Second thing, you need to communicate it with people as well, so that you keep reminding yourself and they keep reminding you that that's the reason why we are actually living, surviving. That actually will give you the adrenaline shot you require to move on. So if you keep your vision in life alive, that's what's going to boost you to continue with your purpose in life, which is in my case impact, which is influencing as many people as I can. And that influence is adding value to them, because I personally, deep inside, I believe that your life stops when you stop adding value. Okay, that's the definition of death to me. So in that case, to stay alive, I would need to continue adding value to people surrounding me. So actually, you can add value to one person, can add value to your family only, or can add value to your neighbors, or add value to a complete raft of company, a complete company. I remember very carefully the motto of Mr. Muhammad Al-Arabi, remember the creator of Toshiba Al-Arabi back in Egypt. Actually, he would feel rewarded by the number of jobs he creates. So the target he has is not a financial target. I know that we're discussing today finance for non-finance people, but for him, actually, the number one target, number one business KPI was the number of jobs that he managed to create. At the beginning, it was 1,000, then 10,000, then 30, 40, etc. I don't know where he stops, where he ended, but I hope that his legacy continues behind him, because he's already, as you know, he passed away already. I hope that his kids carry forward the legacy of their dad and his passion for creating the 100,000 jobs that he wanted to create during his life. But he did not manage to do this in his life. Hopefully, his kids will.
Hopefully, inshallah. So I just want to have a question before we go to the main subject. Please. That we have. How do you measure authenticity?
Which you see what you get, and you get what you see. It's as simple as that. What you see is what you get.
Okay. Now, moving from authenticity to our main subject today, which is the VUCA environment.
Yes.
I think if we reflect back, how many times you consider that you have a VUCA year that you have to deal with in your career?
Well, living in Egypt, you would say every single year, every single month, every single day is a VUCA, classic VUCA environment. Let's just remind the audience what VUCA is. Mm. VUCA is volatility.
Mm.
It's uncertainty, it's ambiguity, and it's complexity.
Mm.
Okay, so you mentioned the example of the Arab Spring back in 2011.
Mm.
Okay, that was a classic VUCA environment. You see, you mentioned that we had no internet, but let me remind you, there was no mobile phones.
Correct.
There was no banking industry to start with.
Mm.
Okay, so I had to do everything
the old way.
The old way. The very traditional way, okay, to be able to survive, actually. The definition of VUCA does not only apply to the emerging countries like us in the Middle East or in Egypt, to be precise. Anything that can cause business interruption is VUCA. So, for example, if you remember back in 2000, we were worried about the 2000... The digit.
The zero.
Yes, the Y2K. It used to be called Y2K.
Mm.
That would have caused business interruption. So a computer virus is business, will cause business interruption. The COVID-19 was another VUCA environment. So VUCA is not pertinent to the developing and emerging markets. Only VUCA can also happen in the more advanced world.
Mm.
If you want to pick the example of Egypt these days in particular, yes, this is VUCA, and this is an economic VUCA. So this is not like what we have been through during the Arab Spring. The Arab Spring impacted us in a very negative way. That's for sure. But what we are going through now is equally challenging, to be honest. I would actually borrow the title of our episode today when you said "Weathering the Storm." Okay, I remember very carefully the saying, which is, "Good weather does not make a good sailor." Okay, bad weather does. Okay, so actually, this is the time in Egypt where every executive needs to be self-motivated, challenged, resilient, to be able to weather the storm. And the storm I'm talking about is the financial / economic storm. Because some people would actually limit the challenges that Egypt is facing today to the economic challenges. Actually, it's not just about economic challenges. We have political challenges, social challenges, all sorts of challenges related to the economy and how bad it is performing, or it has been performing lately. So that's the VUCA we're going through today.
Okay. Now, let's go back to the storm. Let's live on the storm for a moment, just to have the picture for our audience as well. If you're sailing a small boat in a very rough storm, whether the storm is economic, political, social, VUCA, as you highlighted, as we speak now. Where is, I'll quote what you said before we start the recording, the sweet spot between taking the right decision on the right time, giving the limited information. So in VUCA, you have to take a faster decision, but you have very limited information to take.
Yeah.
And you know, you're the expert of the FMCG industry as well, which is fast moving. Now, for our audience and being as an executive in Egypt, how do you take your decision, giving the limited information, and you make the best choice in deciding which direction we should go within the VUCA environment?
Okay, it's all about the balance, okay, between short-term interests and long-term interests as well. Because we're here for the long term, okay? So we should not be absorbed by the short-term challenges and forget the future and what's going to happen on the long term. So that's one thing. Second thing, a business is not just about the top line, bottom line, okay? Because many people, I know that finance people are actually more interested into the bottom line of the business or the profits. But a business, to me, comprises four elements. The first one is the top line growth, because you need to grow, because that's the nature of things. That the difference between the living organism and the non-living organism is the growth. So, so long as we are all human beings and we are alive, then we need to grow every single day, and our business needs to grow as well. So the number one definition of growth, or the growth mindset, is about top line growth, which I call consistent growth. The second thing is about profitability. And that's the profitable growth, which is equally important. So you should not be obsessed with top line only. Actually, most of the salespeople, they get obsessed with top line only. I delivered my numbers, which is sales.
Mm.
And they tend to neglect the bottom line, the profitability. Mm. That's the nature of the salespeople in general. Profitability is, on the other hand, is the main concern of the finance people. So sometimes they get more obsessed with the bottom line, and actually not turning a blind eye, not giving a lot of focus on the top line. Okay, so that's the second element of growth. Third thing is actually how competitive you are. Because again, your task as an executive would always be, how can I grow competitive versus my competitors? It's not just about me growing my top line and bottom line, while actually others are actually growing ahead of me. And with that, I'll be losing market share, losing my market position. Because actually, I can vanish and my business can actually go down the drain if I do not grow competitive every single year. And of course, the fourth element, how can we make sure that we are growing sustainably? I mean, taking into consideration the environments where we operate, the communities that we are serving, our consumers, our suppliers, and the whole raft of stakeholders that impact our businesses.
Mm.
So back to your question, how can we weather the storm? First of all, we need to have the clarity that whatever VUCA environment we're going through will be temporary. It will not be here forever. That's one thing. We need to balance between the short-term interests and the long-term ones. And we need to we need not to neglect the four elements of growth, the top line, the bottom line, the market share, and how sustainable the business is.
Just one comment on the finance people focusing on the profitability.
Mainly, not only.
Mainly on the profitability. I think one of our leaders that I cannot forget, the example he gave, Khalid, where he said companies is like two lovely kids. They're lovely, they're smart, they run, they do everything, but they're not growing.
Yeah.
They are very healthy in terms of their size, but they are not growing. And the kids need to grow. That's the ultimate growth.
Yeah.
And it was like an eye-opener for me as a finance resource as well, that how I can pay equal attention to the growth, same as the profitability as well, where we can balance both. Now, the world strategy in VUCA, I believe in one of your speech to the employees, you give a strategy for the quarter, for the year, even for the months.
Yeah.
And the world strategy ring the bell of something stable at least 3 months from now.
Yeah.
People, they don't craft strategy every day. How you craft a strategy in VUCA and you stay relevant where everything is changing every single day?
Yeah. I think alignment is critical. And by alignment, I mean between all the different functions of the business. There is huge difference between the shareholders and the stakeholders.
Mm.
So you need to make sure that you are aligning all the different stakeholders so that you are working in harmony with all of them.
Mm.
You need to take, actually, sometimes you take daily decisions and you need to have the adaptability to change course. And what do I mean by that? Remember, one day, and that's maybe 5-10,000 years ago, dinosaurs existed on Earth. The reason why they got instinct is simply because they could not adapt to the changes. Remember, at the time, Earth was stuck by a massive drought. So actually, and because the dinosaurs, they have very high necks, they could not bend down to be able to eat grass off Earth. And as a result, they did not survive. So the point I'm trying to make here is adaptability and how adaptable you are to the changing environment. In a stable environment, which is the non-VUCA, you need to be very much concerned with protecting your brand, protecting your assets, and having a good P&L.
Consistency as well.
Yes. Mm. Actually, during the VUCA environment, there is another element that you need to look after as well, which is called cash.
Mm.
Okay, and here's the famous conflict of whether cash is king or cash is not king.
Mm.
Because if you were in Egypt, actually a few years ago, keeping cash in Egyptian pound would have been a disaster, to tell you the truth. So in that case, cash would not have worked in your advantage.
Mm.
If we discussed a minute ago the importance of profitability, because that's how you thrive on profitability, being able to deliver on all the business KPIs, fundamentals, being able to finance the business. During the tough times, cash becomes even more critical, and your ability to manage your cash, in which currency, should you keep it as cash, or should you convert it into raw material? Where should you keep your stocks, etc. So actually, you need to take daily decisions to manage the cash during the VUCA environment, unlike during another environment.
Okay, so cash play a critical role, especially in VUCA. But if the VUCA, just before I go to the next question, building on the cash point, if the VUCA is economic VUCA with a currency, massive currency devaluation,
yeah,
how cash can be the king in VUCA? In that sense. You see what I'm saying?
Yes. In a hyperinflation environment, the best thing you can do to your business is to convert your cash into raw material.
Mm.
Because you know that the raw material prices will increase eventually. Because you should be able, as a business executive, to see the trend. So actually, there is a time value of money, and you are weighing your options. In a hyperinflation environment, the best thing to do is to convert it into raw material. And if you are in a deflationary environment, the best thing is to keep your cash because eventually be able to buy more stuff with the cash you are keeping today.
Okay. Now, speaking about the cash, we live on a planet with a limited resources.
Yes.
Wherever we run an organization, we run it on a limited resources. And again, we're still in the storm. Don't forget.
Yes.
We're sailing the storm together. There is a short-term and long-term objective that you want to reach inside the storm as well.
Yes.
So you have your daily fight and you have long-term vision as well at the same time. Again, back to the sweet spot. How we reach the sweet spot to dedicate some of the resources, whether investment, people, caliber, time, to see what is outside and cater for the longer-term strategy and at the same time cater for the short-term under the storm.
Okay. First of all, you need to be always aware of what's going on because knowledge is power. So actually, you need to stay abreast of the trends. You need to have your own market intelligence. Okay, you need to lobby with the other industry players. You need to be well connected with suppliers, with customers, with key stakeholders. You need to stay ahead of the curve. So knowledge is power. So that's point number one. Point number two, I am in a business today, all right? I have a lot of concern about the availability of things in general, okay? Because with business, again, I said VUCA is all about business interruption. VUCA is not necessarily a revolution or rioting or demonstration. VUCA is anything that can cause business interruption is VUCA to me. And during the VUCA, okay, the number one responsibility of a leader is to ensure business continuity, okay? Because the survival of the business is in the continuity of the business. In order for your business to stay in business, okay, you need to be concerned with three things. Availability of resources, whether the resources are money or human capital or raw material, production line, etc. So it's availability, okay? Availability of whatever that is to keep the business going.
Mm.
Okay, so that's one thing. Second thing is affordability. Because again, maybe what you need is available, whether you can actually afford to get it or not, that's a different thing, okay? You wanna hire a top marketeer. He's there, he's available, but can you afford to get him or not? Mm. You wanna buy raw material, it's available there, but do you have the money, whether in Egyptian pound or another currency, to buy it or not? Okay, so that's the second thing. We said about availability of all the resources needed to keep your business running. Second thing, to make sure that you can actually afford to get it. Okay, third thing, which is a new element, which is accessibility. Because that's a new element that was not there before. So for example, with what's going on now in the Red Sea, for example. Mm. Okay, so the raw material you need might be available somewhere, somehow. And actually, you can afford to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
But due to the turbulences in the Red Sea today and the blockage of the Suez Canal, you can actually don't have actually access to it. You cannot get it.
Mm-hmm.
Or there is some sort of an embargo or ban on importation or whatever. So again, during, I'll just try to summarize so that your audience don't get distracted. The number one responsibility of a leader during the VUCA environment is to keep the business going. To do that, he needs to ensure that all the resources needed are there, whether it is raw material, packaging material, people, labor, utilities, production line, etc. It's a cash, okay, again, cash. It's not just cash in absolute, but cash in which currency, because I might have cash in Egyptian pound, but unfortunately, I have to import certain raw material for which I need hard currency, for example. So again, so that's the number one is to ensure that all the resources are available, okay? And the new elements are, okay, it's whether it's available or not, whether I can afford to get it or not, whether it is accessible or not, hence the importance of cash. And that's why during VUCA environment, cash becomes of a big concern, of big importance. How can you best use your cash to convert it into business?
Okay. But we didn't touch a base. So number one priority to keep the business going.
Yes.
Through the different elements.
Yes.
And number two is to have the availability, affordability, and accessibility to the resource.
Yes, so that your business does not get interrupted.
Excellent. Where is the long-term strategy? How we're going to dedicate some of this very limited resource?
Yes.
For a bigger picture down on the road for 1 year, 2 years on the go. You see what I'm saying?
Yes. Every big company should have a strategy for 5 years.
Mm.
Okay. However, that strategy would change in a VUCA environment.
Mm.
Okay. To me, the number one benefit of a VUCA environment is how can you grow competitively? How can you make use of these tough environment to grow your market share? Why am I saying this? Because not everybody will be able to manage the storm. Not everybody would be able to avail all the resources needed to stay in business, not to lose course. Actually, what's going on now in the Egyptian economy is that the small players are actually dropping. It's the survival of the biggest today. So actually trade consolidation actually started to happen. Whether we talk about some of the retailers shutting down or some of the manufacturers going out of business or some people exiting certain categories, for example. So I know it's a bad thing to be said, but let me just say it as it is. When I see blood in the street, this is the time to make money. So while that's a bad thing, however, it also gives some opportunity for some of the strong players who can actually adapt to the situation, who have the muscles to survive, who have the resources, who have the ability to avail all the resources needed for the business to stay working. Let's not forget that we are actually in food industry. And during the tough times, okay, a human being tend to get back to the
basics,
the basic needs, the Maslow hierarchy of needs.
True.
Because I usually say that the disposable income gets spent on three main things, on food and beverage, on healthcare, and on education. During the VUCA time, food and beverage becomes of paramount importance. I mean, you can wait, then don't go visit your dentist. Actually, education in any way was actually on hold during the Arab Spring or during the COVID-19. The one thing that you can never stop, which is food and beverage.
So let's be blind here. Are you saying indirectly that during the VUCA storm, the business turn into survivor mode rather than looking at the long-term five-year strategy?
Yes.
Okay, clear.
Yes.
Clear.
But how short term? I'm talking about a year at least.
Okay.
Yeah, because you see, most of the financials, you have annual financials. So your responsibility, again, as a business leader, is to manage all the different lines of the P&L.
Hmm.
All right? Without losing sight of how competitive you are, because the P&L would actually show you your top line, your bottom line, how efficient you are with your overheads, for example. You need to keep an eye on the different cost elements. You need to challenge every single cost element, try to optimize, again, be adaptable, have the flexibility to respond to the emerging market trends. So for example, today we have a hyperinflationary environment in Egypt, okay, as you may know. The reported figures, the official reported figures for the
inflation,
it's 40%. In food and beverage, above 60%. In meat and chicken, it's above 100%. Okay? And that actually forces businesses to change their product portfolio, start more concerned about net revenue management, and be able to measure the new emerging consumer trends. Try to actually meet the new emerging trends, because during the tough times and hyperinflationary environment, consumer trends changes big time. They can downtrade, they can shift the tier within the category, and sometimes when prices become very high, they can drop an entire category altogether. So depending on how important the category is, okay, they can consume less, or they can move from a high tier to a lower tier, or if they can't afford it, they simply drop an entire category because they can't afford to buy it.
Now, you spoke about the P&L.
Yes.
And we highlighted how, because short term is a relative concept, and you agreed at least minimum 1 year.
Yes.
Based on the P&L forecasting. Now, that will bring us in the discussion the role of the CFO in partnership with the CEO.
Yeah.
Do you think we have a classification of a VUCA CFO? A non-VUCA CFO?
Yeah, of course. Of course. A VUCA CFO, I would call him actually an executive leader. Hmm. Okay? Let me just step back and tell you something. In every company, you usually have a function which is more important than the rest or more influential than the rest. And for example, let me tell you this. If you talk about Microsoft, for example, what do you think is the most influential, most important function for Microsoft, for example?
Engineering?
Of course. Hmm. If you talk about an investment bank, for example, like EFG Hermes, for example, Morgan Stanley, what do you think the most important function?
Finance.
If you are in General Electric, for example, what would be the most important one?
Engineering again.
You see? Hmm. So for every single company, there is one particular function that is the most influential or the core function of the business, and the others actually help serve this important function, all right? Maybe in FMCG, it's the sales or distribution, for example. Maybe in a branded business, it's marketing, all right?
Hmm.
However, every company at every stage of its evolution, that changes. So maybe at the beginning, operations is more important. Eventually to build the brand, so marketing becomes more important. Then eventually in a VUCA environment, finance becomes more important. The ability to weather the storm requires certain financial decisions to be taken on daily basis, all right? That's why in the VUCA environment, the CFO becomes way more important. Why? Because actually you're taking business decisions here, not functional decisions. If the CFO would be obsessed about finance only without wearing the hat of the total business, that would be pretty bad for the business. So actually the CFO that I'll be looking for, actually I was lucky enough to have a CFO of that caliber that acts as an executive director rather than a CFO, being able to read the market changes, having the flexibility and understanding to take swift, important, non-orthodox decisions on daily basis, seeing the bigger picture. Because again, this is like a journey that the entire management team is going through together. This is not the time to take sides or create silos for every function to protect its interests or its business KPIs. It's about total business delivery. So during the VUCA time, again, I'll remind you, during the Arab Spring, when the banks were shut down, we had to take a complete non-orthodox decision.
True.
By working with cash, okay?
True.
By receiving bags of banknotes from our customers, by paying our suppliers not with checks or bank transfer, by paying them in cash, by availing liquid banknotes to be able to pay the salaries. I remember when we could not transfer the salaries, because remember, Arab Spring started on the 25th of January, right before the payroll payout, okay? Where we had to send the money on the train, which was the Cairo-Aswan train, with a messenger that stops at every stop of that train to deliver money in banknote, in cash, to our people in the different cities across Upper Egypt. So those are the kind of decisions that without a finance alignment okay, would have caused a business interruption, business freeze, etc. So again, during the crisis time or VUCA environment, the role of the CFO is to wear the business hat, be an executive director rather than a CFO functional head, trying to understand the needs of every business element, business function, take collective decisions, not to think short-term only or long-term only, not to be obsessed with the functional KPIs, but work more as a team player, paddling in the same direction where the boat is heading.
Okay. I fully agree with you, but I have a challenge here.
Please.
Do you think this is applicable in every CFO, whether it is VUCA or not?
It becomes more important during VUCA environment.
Okay.
If the CFO, again, it depends on the industry itself. Okay. If you are in fast-moving consumer goods, the definition of fast, it means that every single day things change. Okay. Whether it is the pricing strategy or the payment terms of the suppliers, the account receivables, account payables, how you are managing your inventory. Remember when I told you during the VUCA time, cash becomes very important. It's not about cash per se. It's about how can you deploy that cash to serve the business. Okay? It's the flexibility to change your payment terms because you need something now. You need it immediately. It's the ability to have different P&Ls for different product groups. It's about revenue management. However, it's equally important how to protect the company financial assets. Okay, because again, during VUCA environment, sometimes you are risking collection, for example. So it's not, I'm not saying that during VUCA, you need to go wholeheartedly just behind sales, and availability of products, selling them. Of course, you need to keep an eye on the market risks as well, because we see players falling down. So it's important to protect company assets during the VUCA. And by assets, I mean protecting your factories, protecting your people, and protecting your finances as well.
Okay.
And a big role to be played is by the CFO during that time.
So the following question is a hypothetical example. Don't take it as a life example because you have a great team with you as we speak now. But if there is a crack or a disagreement between the CEO and CFO during the storm, which is more difficult to manage, what kind of disagreement? I think you answer this question through that if the CFO is only focusing in the function agenda rather than the total company agenda, that can be the disagreement. But how CEO navigate the storm and the pressure of the CFO as well during the storm?
Okay. The first thing I said, the CEO needs to share his vision with his team. So hopefully conflicts should not happen. If you share the your vision and you share it clearly, so people, when they see it, believe it, then hopefully big conflicts should not happen. Okay? Because again, there is more than one definition of success. So we need to agree on the definition of success. And there are many measures for good finance, for example. How are you looking at your, how are you defining the good finance of the business? Is it about the gross margin or is it about the net profit? It's about the cash conversion cycle or whatever. So again, there needs to be alignment between the two of them. That alignment should happen. And it's the responsibility of the CEO to communicate that with his team, whether it's the CFO or the rest of the functions as well. And if there is, if you are operating in open environment, conflict should not happen. If it does happen, then we need to take a collective decision, and the decision maker here needs to bear all the consequences of the decision he's taking.
True.
Okay. I'm not saying that the CEO is always right. Sometimes he makes mistakes. Sometimes he takes a judgment which is not 100% correct. However, if he does that with the good intention of safeguarding, of protecting the business, I think that mistake might be forgiven.
Okay. Now, if we assume that the CFO is fully onboarded on the vision of the CEO,
yeah,
and there is no disagreement. I know the CEO doesn't have to interact with every single individual in the other organization. Just one last thought on that subject before we go to a different section in our discussion. What do you expect from the extreme, fresh, junior finance person in the organization during VUCA environment?
Well, to tell you the truth, I enjoy having young joiners, okay? They add fresh eye to the business, okay? It's good that they keep you challenged, okay? And by communication, by sharing the vision, it shouldn't only be with the direct reports of the CEO, because again, you have responsibility for the whole organization. So town halls are important. It's very important to keep everybody aligned, well aware of where the bus is heading. You need to take them on board as well. There's one thing that I want to explain to you, please, Mahmoud, which is regarding a definition which is called the positive tension.
Okay. Positive tension.
Yes, because I know that tension is a bad word. Okay. However, positive tension is not bad at all. So, because positive tension will make you get the best for the business. Because I usually use this example, which is that if it's up for the sales director to decide the payment terms, the sales director will give 90 days of credit for every single customer he has, 120 days to collect the money back because it's for his interest to do this.
I'm happy that you're saying that.
Yeah. If it is for the CFO, he would want to actually sell
cash in advance.
Yes. Okay. And that's the positive tension I'm talking about. So if you bridge that gap between the sales director and the CFO, so ultimately you should reach an account payable of 30 days, 35 days, 40 days, etc. That's the positive tension I'm talking about. If it's up for the marketeer, he would actually ask for $100 million budget because I want to make the best advertising ever made, and it's going to get Amre Dieb on that TVC, for example. If it's up for the CFO, he would tell you, I don't see the value of that TVC. I mean, this is rubbish. This is money wasted down the drain. Let's put that money in the bank in treasury bills. We're going to get a better yield by putting the money in treasury bills, for example. And again, there is that positive tension between the marketeers and the CFO. Of course, the role of the CEO here is how to
mediate.
Yes, and bridge these gaps, reach sweet spot, middle ground. Because again, that's the nature of the job, being a CEO, okay, which is to deliver total business. It's about total business delivery. And you do that through influencing procurement, how you are buying, okay, influencing operations, how are you costing it, influencing sales, marketing, influencing hiring, etc. So you need to manage all the different elements of the P&L to be able, I mean, to stand at the end of the year in front of the shareholders, stakeholders, delivering on success that you agreed on at the very beginning. That's why it's very important to define success from the very beginning. And during the VUCA time, sometimes the definition of success would change. In a normal, stable year, maybe actually my shareholders would reward me on the top line and bottom line growth, and that's it. But during the VUCA time, they should be able to judge me whether I kept the business afloat or not, whether I grew market share, whether I lost talent, for example. So again, the number one responsibility of a leader during the VUCA time is to protect the business, okay? To defend the business and keep the business going with all the different assets of the business, whether it's the factories, it's the people, it's the brand, the equity, it's the cash of the business.
Okay. I love the concept of positive tension. Very, very good point, Khaled. I loved it. Because in every interaction, the business on a daily basis is all about positive tension to people.
Yes.
And that's how the business grow healthy across all the world. And that's why every function, they need to play their own role as well.
Yes.
In the business. Now, moving to a completely new subject within the same storm. We're still in the storm.
Yep.
There is a perception that every generation, they have their own struggle compared to the other generation. And there is a generation debate that we have struggle more than you. No, you have a struggle more than us. And then there is a wisdom that the more the challenge is high, the more the gift giving within that tension.
Yeah.
That's introduction. Do you think the number of VUCA environment is increasing massively, deeply.
Lately.
But yeah. at the same time, we have the technology end that does not exist before
yeah.
to smooth that VUCA. What is the role of technology in what is the role of technology in VUCA environment?
Okay, I'm going to tell you this, but before I answer you this question, actually, I'm having this conflict with my kids, to be honest. Why? Because they think that they have had it all. They say, we went through the COVID, the wars, the Arab Spring, the whole thing, devaluation, call it whatever. Okay, but I tell them, and that's the positive tension, I tell them, you are born having mobile phones. I never had mobile phones when I was born. You are born with satellite TV. I never had satellite TV. I only used to have just two channels, okay? And I'm telling them that you are born with internet. And I never had an internet when I was born, when I was your age, okay? So those are the three things that they have, which I never had. COVID-19 or the Russian-Ukraine war or whatever that is actually impacted the whole world.
Mm.
Okay, it impacted the old and the young. Okay, however, they have the technology that facilitates their life. At their age, if I wanted to learn something or know something, I had to go to the public library. I remember this very carefully. Okay, I used to go there to borrow books to read to be able to know, because again, at that time, like I was telling you, there was no internet. We relied on newspapers, which is already outdated, or books, which is even more outdated, all right? Or listening to the news bulletin at 9 p.m. every single day, okay? And for my kids now, they have access to the whole world, okay? At the touch of the fingertip, they can easily have access to anything they want, they need. So actually, I don't sympathize with them when they say that this is a tougher time than your time, because again, to be honest, the number of challenges they're going through now, they have more tools that can help them weather the storm, to be honest. They have options, and with options comes solutions. I think it's easier. However, the one thing that I sympathize with them actually is the job market, Mahmoud, because it has become more challenging than ever before.
Job market, you mean career job?
Side. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Job market is becoming very tough, very fierce, because again, with technology, there are many jobs that got replaced or downsized because of technology. Certain jobs are not needed anymore. So it's becoming more challenging now for the new generation to land a decent job, especially if you talk about countries with big population like Egypt, for example. I see the number one challenge now that the young generation is facing is how to secure a decent job. They learn, they have good qualifications. However, securing or landing a decent job has become more challenging than ever before. That's why many of them move into startups or being self-employed or being a freelance. Because again, I think during my time, it was way much easier to land a decent job. It's not the case anymore.
Okay. Now, because time with you flies, to be honest, Khaled, I cannot imagine. We have to close with one final question. You mentioned the startup now.
Yes.
The logic that the larger is the ship, the better to sail the storm.
Yes.
The smaller is the ship, it's more difficult to get swept by the waves during the storm. And I've seen you very active in social media in your real life, supporting startup, having discussion with startup.
That's true.
Especially during the VUCA environment. What kind of advice you give the startup business, especially younger generation, with the limited resources on how to navigate the storm during VUCA?
Okay, start with the end in mind. Because I see many startups start without knowing where they would end, all right? Startup is not just about being the second Elon Musk, for example, all right? Because I see many kids start a new business with huge ambitions, thinking that exponential growth happens overnight. Remember the famous example of the turtle and the rabbit? Ultimately, at the end, who won the race was the turtle, not the rabbit.
True.
I'm not anti-ambitions. However, in order for ambitions to happen, you need to take baby steps slowly but surely. And the one advice I would give is, again, start with the end in mind, which means imagine where you would land in 5 years, and work with others. Don't do it alone. The more stakeholders you have, the more chances you have to win. Remember when I told you that if a leader has a vision, it's his responsibility to share the vision with other people as well, and not only that, just with his direct report. So communication is critical.
Clear communication.
Clear communication. Because again, why people would have a startup? Because there is a problem or a need, and they're trying to solve that problem or that need. Okay? And that's why before it's jumping on the bandwagon and create a startup, you need to sit with your potential clients, customers, etc., see exactly what the problem is, work with them on solving their problem, so that once you are starting, you know what your client or customer would expect from you, by when, at which cost, for example. Because many startups start without focusing on the P&L, only driving top line growth at any cost. Then they get stuck, they run out of cash, they try to raise funds, they fail to do that. Because again, they are only obsessed about growing the top line. So it's very important before you jump and start a new business is to sit with their potential clients or the future customers of yours, see what they need, at what price, at what terms, so that when you start to solve that problem, you know where you'd be landing. Because before you onboard a flight, you need to know actually what's the destination.
I fully agree with you, but with one point that I just need to get your point of view.
Sure.
Startup about disruption. If startup will act like turtle having baby steps, then what's the difference between startup and big corporation in the market?
No.
You see what I'm saying?
Startups actually solve problems.
Okay.
Big corporations, they're not that concerned or obsessed with solving a problem. They start, their business because they see the opportunity already there. So for example, before Unilever went into Egypt with their Lipton tea, for example, Egyptians were also already drinking tea.
Correct.
But they wanted to supply them with a better tea to drink, for example, different formats like the tea bags versus the loose tea, for example. But the tea category already existed in Egypt way before Unilever decided to get into Egypt. That's what big corporations do. The market is already there. And actually, there is some market attractiveness for them to get into a particular market. But for startups, there is an unmet need. They come, there is a problem that nobody ever thought of, and they come and solve it.
Okay.
That's the difference between the two of them.
Okay. If you're going to give quick advice to a startup operating now in Egypt, rather than taking baby steps, looking at their P&L, any other advice for a startup operating in Egypt?
Yeah, pick your team. I mean, that's the single most important thing. It's more important than the business plan. It's more important than the business financials. The one thing that you need to pick right from the very beginning, it's the team. Because I saw great ideas that actually failed because the team could not work together. And if I'm evaluating a startup, the one thing, the single most important thing that I'll be evaluating, not the P&L, not the idea, it's the team. How energetic they are, how innovative they are, and how they collaborate and work between themselves. It's picking that you are as good as your people are.
Okay. That's a perfect closing for the discussion. So you see the link we started was leaving positive, long-lasting impact.
Yes.
And we're ending the discussion with a startup solving a problem, choosing the team, and leaving an impact
very
as well.
True. Very true.
So that's the perfect beginning and ending of the episode. I think, Khaled, that's a beautiful journey in the storm. I feel the weather now is changing around me.
Thank you so much, Mahmoud. The pleasure is definitely mine.
And the way you navigated the storm from the CFO, the CEO, the market dynamics, different KPIs, it really resonates with everyone going through VOCA as we speak now.
I hope I managed to leave good impact and actually added value to your audience, and wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. Thank you.